God, hallelujah. Woo-wee. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I'm trying to get sophisticated and preach off of an iPad, so please bear with me in this transition. It's going to be great. So we have been talking about victory, and then we talked about moving from being an immature, a technon, into a weos, a mature Christian. And one of the things that I have learned personally in life is that to achieve victory, the word says it requires two things. In Hebrews 6:12, it says it requires faith and patience to obtain the promises of God. As you obtain the promises of God, you're obtaining victory, right? And I don't know if y'all know this, but maybe I'll save this. Let's read the scripture first, and then we'll go in. We're going to read about David. And Pastor was talking about us going to new levels in finances, and we're called to go to new levels our entire life. You are going to be increasing the rest of your life. You should always be increasing. It should be your expectation that with age you do not decrease, you increase. It should be that you increase in your thinking, you increase in your understanding, you increase in your anointing, you increase in your finances, you increase in your relationships, that you are ever increasing. That's who we're created to be. We're created to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And to do that, we have to be ever increasing. Amen? And so this story is going to sound like I'm preaching to you two different messages, but we're going to close it all together and we're going to do it quick. Amen? So it says in verse 1, "Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinom something, and the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to the priest, 'Please bring the ephod here to me.' And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake him?' And he answered him, 'Pursue, for you shall surely overtake and without fail recover all.'" Amen. You see, what's happening here is David had come from a place of battle. David is victorious and victorious and victorious. And oftentimes, there are two different ways that we can live our lives. We can either go up to victory and something like this happens, and then we go back down, and we can go up to victory and something happens and we go back down. Or we can live a life that through faith and patience we obtain the promises. Some of you may remember that Pastor spoke about a suffering that I would call endurance. That's what it is. When you go up and you hit victory, there's a time where you may plateau. And that plateau is where you gain your momentum. It's where endurance happens. It's when you get to that place that you refuse to give up ground. It's when you get to that place where you refuse to go backwards. You don't allow something like this to dictate your life and have you go back to your starting point. But instead, you go on this plateau for a while, and as you're enduring through this plateau, you go to a place of momentum, and then you're able to go back up to another place of victory, and then maybe you require a little more endurance and a little more momentum, but then you go up to another level of victory and you continue to go up and to go up and to go up. But it's when you get to something like this and you don't understand how to endure or how to gain momentum that you go back to the starting point and you're never going up from faith to faith, from glory to glory, but instead you're going up and you're going down and you're going up and you're going it down and you feel like you're living the same thing over and over again. You are, because you're not enduring and gaining momentum to go to the next level. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Y'all may not know this, but I was actually raised, y'all probably all know that I'm from Michigan. If not, congratulations, now you know. I am no longer a Yankee. I am no longer a Northerner. I've been here long enough that I feel like I can claim true Texan heritage. My entire adult life has been in Texas, so... all of my children have been born here. I've been married here. I'm Texan. But I was raised in a small country farming town in Michigan. And yes, it's a farming town. It is actually, I think, just as country, if not more country than where we're at, okay? And I am a small town girl through and through. Marble Falls reminds me a lot of where I was born and raised. But I also am a little redneck in that my family owns a drag strip back home where I'm from. And, yeah, surprise, surprise. And so my dad is a racer. He has, his family has passed down through the generations a 68 Camaro, and they race this on the drag strip. I like this look on all y'all's face. It's fun. It's true. For a little while, the Lopez called me NASCAR because they thought it was hilarious. It's all right. You just look what the Lord has done. Amen. so he races this, and on it, when I first went there, I noticed that before they would go to the starting line, that they would rev their engines and they would spin their tires, and they spun them, because there is a component within the tire that causes the wheels to get sticky to better hold to the track. So when they race, they can gain speed faster. You see, the temperature of the track makes them know how much more they have to add a heat to those tires in order to race. Well, just like you, depending what you're coming up against, it may require more momentum to be gained. It may require a little bit more endurance, but that's how much further up you're going when you go to the point of victory. Amen? So it is so important for us to understand that we are needing to gain momentum and be in a place of gaining momentum. So how do you gain momentum? This is what we're going to get through. The first thing I want you to notice is when he showed up there that there was an emotional attack on David. It says that they wept until they could not weep anymore. It's common for when something happens to you for emotion to rise. But he understood, regardless of what all these people were wanting to do, he understood that he must strengthen himself in the Lord. You see, the first thing these are all going to be R's for you. And the first one is going to be right thinking. And I was laughing. I told Jordan, I tried to force it so much that I could make it be, the message be RPMs. so much so that I was like, I could do R's for P-H-O-R, momentum. Yes, I was raised in the 2000s. We do P-H for everything. That's what we do. But anyways, so the first one, right thinking. It is so important for you when you come in this situation to not make an emotional decision. You have to get yourself in the right frame of mind. You have to not make any response until you're able to think clearly about and see what's going on. So much so that sometimes you're able to pull yourself into a place where you can think and almost be like you are outside of the situation. Pastor calls it separating the pressure from the problem. You have to know most of all that you are victorious when you come and think about this situation. Regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what I feel like, I am victorious in the situation. Get yourself in that thought process. Get yourself in that mindset. It says, the second thing is to rehearse the victories. We know that David did this when he came up against David and Goliath. This is another thing to help you get yourself in a mindset. Remind yourself, the last time I was in a situation, he killed the lion, he killed the bear, he was with me in each and every one of these situations. He will be with me in this situation. Jordan and I, we often, not often, that's not good to say, but when we find ourselves in a situation where he is on a job where it requires job after job after job after job, if we feel like there is a lull in those jobs coming in, those sales coming in, we know we need to create momentum. And so we remember, you got us this job. You got us this job. You got us this job. Remember when you got us this job? Remember when you set us up in this way? And we remember to get ourselves in a place where even if it isn't the biggest job we've ever had, we're going to gain momentum. So you're going to get us this job and you're going to get us this job. And then before you know it, everything's rolling just like it was before and moving ahead. Why? Because we're reminding ourselves of what he has already done. And if he's done it once, he will do it again. Amen. So you have to remind yourself, oh, he healed my body. Oh, he paid that bill for me. Oh, he took care of that for me. He opened a door that I could talk to this person. So we get our minds right, we do right thinking, and then we rehearse the victories that he has already had for us. This one is the one that I want to hit on that I think is probably the most important. And number three is rejoicing. We must rejoice. When you are in this place, I can almost guarantee you, when you wept till you cannot weep anymore, when you are overly distressed, rejoicing is the last thing on your mind that you want to do. But I want to tell you something. Rejoicing is something in this situation that you'll never do when you get to heaven. It's never something that you're going to do when you get to heaven, because you're never going to be in a position where you've wept all that you can weep. You're never going to be in a position where you're distressed beyond belief. This is your opportunity to worship God regardless of circumstance, regardless of what's going on. You see, when you have two options here in this situation, you can allow fear to come in or you can worship God, and they both go in the same place in your heart. When you worship God, you remove that place of fear and say, circumstance, you have no place in my life. You have no right to stand here. I don't care what you say, body. I'm going to worship God because my God is greater than this circumstance. My God is greater than this disease. My God is greater than this bill. My God is greater than whatever trouble my child has got herself into. My God is greater than anything that I'm walking through in this moment. You must put God first and you must worship him. When you give place to fear, you are taking away worship from God. You are giving power to your situation. You're giving power to the enemy. And honestly, you're saying that you believe the enemy has a higher authority than your God. Rejoicing should be something that overflows in you when trouble comes. Even if it means, I specifically remember standing in my bathroom with tears running down my face when me and Jordan were walking through something, and on purpose turning on some worship music and jumping and dancing and yelling as loud as I possibly could. Why? Because I wanted to show the devil, you ain't got nothing on me. There ain't nothing you can do that's going to stop me from worshiping my God. There is nothing that is going to stop me. You can take everything I have, and I don't care. I'm still going to worship God. Let me tell you something. When you come for victory, when you come for a place of victory, weak people don't receive victory. The faith life is not for wimps. It's not. The faith life is for the meek, but not the weak. It's when you are willing enough to say, I don't know best, God knows best, and I'm moving ahead regardless of how bad it hurts. That's the point of endurance where you're gaining momentum. Because you wash that thing out of your mind, and you move ahead in the power God's already had for you. And you praise Him, and you worship Him, and you thank Him, and you move ahead. Amen? So today you have to decide. I will worship God. I'm going through something and I'm worshiping God. I want a promotion. I will worship God. I need an answer. I'll worship God. Worship is what gives the Father access to your life. It's that rejoicing that gives the Father access to your life. It says He inhabits the praises of His people. You're saying, I believe in you. I trust you. I give you everything that I have. Come in and do what you can do. That was David strengthening himself in the Lord. Amen? Y'all are quiet in this place today. We see David psalming to God over and over again. He wrote many, many of the psalms. What is he doing? He's filling himself up. He's building himself up. He's strengthening himself. It says in the New Testament, how do you be filled with the Holy Spirit? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and you will be being filled with the Spirit of God. What is Pentecost about? Being filled. That was a one-time filling. But if you want to continue being filled, it's going to require rejoicing. It's going to require rejoicing. Rejoice like you already have it. Celebrate, shout like you already have it. Be on purpose about it. Start thinking today about the testimony of what it looks like when it's already done. Picture yourself telling someone what God did for you. Picture the end of it. Lord, I am so grateful that you have healed my body. Lord, there was a time that they said I had this disease, but I have to preach and sing and glorify your goodness because I have been made whole. I don't care if the doctor said it this morning. No, I'm going to preach and excited of the goodness of God. Picture yourself saying it. Picture yourself being there. Rejoice in it already being done. Amen? Amen. And once he had strengthened himself in the Lord, it says that then he inquired of the Lord what to do. Then he inquired of the Lord what to do. Amen. And so in doing that, he then was ready to respond. Number four, right response. It is extremely important that we respond and do not react. In the moment when this situation came to him, he had the opportunity to react based on the emotions that came to him. Everyone else in that crowd did. It said they wanted to throw stones at him. They wanted to kill David. Why? Because they were reacting. You know that feeling when Tabasco sauce is running up your legs and you just want to speak quickly in response to the situation going on? That's exactly what you should not do. I learned this great lesson with parenting my children that when they upset me and I react, the response to them is quick, it's hard, and it's not effective. But if instead, I will close my emotions down and walk away from them, and I tell them, you'll be disciplined for this later, and then they have to wait the entire day to be disciplined. And now I'm in my right thinking, because there's no longer a reaction. I am now responding to what happened inappropriately. One, they've had to think about it the entire day, which is because they know if I say it's happening, it's happening. There's no going back. So now they think about it all day, and then at the end of the day, I respond, but I do not respond out of emotion. I respond because correction is necessary, because it was out of line. You see, you're able to more effectively and efficiently take on situations if you will get your mind right, if you will rehearse the victories, rehearse what has happened, rehearse what the Lord has said, what the Lord is doing. If you will rejoice, I don't often rejoice, but there's a few times where things happened at accordance and necessary for discipline that I did. I didn't know what else to do. I was just going to praise God. Just turn on some worship music and praise God, and we'll figure it all out later. Amen. And then you're able to respond correctly. You have a right response. And then it says, once he was able to respond correctly, the Lord said, you will pursue and you will overtake and recover all. If you will allow yourself to gain momentum in that situation, if you will allow yourself to move ahead through that situation, if you will stand it out, you will pursue, you will overtake, and you will recover all. The victory will be yours, and you will be going to the next level. Momentum is what will lead you to the next level. Today, we take the next level. Today, we have the next level. Today, we're starting that new financial level Pastor talked about. Today, so when you walk out of here, if something looks like it didn't align with a suddenly of summers, now you know what to do. Now you know what to do. You're going to rejoice in that it's already done. You're going to rejoice that you're already at the next level. You're going to rejoice that your income bracket has gone up. You're going to rejoice that those debts are paid off. You're going to rejoice that you're able to give who you wanted to give to, that you can stop by that place, that you can buy new bleachers for the softball field, that you can give to the Boys and Girls Club, that you can sow into that ministry, that you can purchase that car, whatever it is, and you start rejoicing and being excited in God. Look at what he's already done, and let me tell you, you can't even imagine or think what he's going to do. Amen.